Our text comes from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and reading from verse 10 for our text. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall not fall. Seeking God's blessing, we want to meditate particularly upon the phrase, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And that's the title I want to give to the sermon today, making our calling and election sure. You will maybe remember 2 weeks ago that we looked at the whole subject of assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. And we said mainly two things 2 weeks ago. We said that to have an assurance of salvation is a true and a biblical thing. We do have a warrant in the Scripture to have this. And we sought to establish that an assurance of salvation, despite what some might say to us, is a true and scriptural and biblical thing. Some people say it's presumptuous and it leads to slothfulness. And it stops us from being careful. But we don't agree with that at all. Because the apostles, John, Peter, and Paul, they all urge us to have an assurance of our salvation. And whatever we might say about the apostles, they were not proud and they were not presumptuous. They were quite simply men with like passions as ourselves who took the word of God as it is. And they were ones who had an assurance of their salvation. And therefore, as we seek to stand upon Scripture and upon what the apostles teach, we are ones who believe firmly that the Christian is to seek to have an assurance of salvation because it is a true and a biblical thing. We also noted too that it's very possible that a man may truly be saved and never come to an assurance of his salvation. We have noticed this, that a man may truly be saved, that the root of the matter will be in him, that he truly is savingly united to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is born again. He is justified by faith. He has been adopted into the family of the living God. Yet, we do believe that that individual may never come to this assured and blessed hope that we are talking about here. But today we want to say two other things to draw this to a close. We are told here in our text, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And what we want to say is, first and foremost here today, that an assured hope, that a blessed hope for the Christian is exceedingly to be desired. It is something that we are to desire. Look at what it says here. To make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, it's very important as we look at this subject that the Apostle Peter here is addressing early first century Christians. Many of them would have been slaves. Most of them, no doubt, would have been Gentiles. They had no previous scriptural background, we might say. They had no church upbringing. They did not know the scriptures. But by the grace of God, they had come to a living and a lively faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. And it does seem that they were having difficult times. They were ones who were facing persecution. Possibly they had faced it. They were certainly going to face more difficult times for them as Christians. They had become Christians. And maybe, it's very possible, maybe they didn't fully understand or grasp what it meant to be a Christian. Maybe they thought that when they become Christians, that their life would be rosy and everything would be hunky-dory and they would have no problems as such. Well, of course, they quickly had problems and they were facing difficult times because of their allegiance to Christ. And here Peter is impressing upon them, these early first century Christians, these Gentiles who had no real scriptural background to lean upon, he is impressing upon them the most basic and most fundamental things in the Christian faith, that they might be absolutely sure and vital of these things, that they might recognize that they have a precious faith, the same faith as the apostles had. That's the faith. In verse 1, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. They may have been slaves, and they may have been Gentiles, and they didn't belong to the Commonwealth of Israel, and they knew nothing of the blessings that the people of God had known previously, but now they were Christians, and now they were brought into the family of God, and Peter was seeking to impress upon them that they might understand what they had in Jesus Christ. And although the problems might come upon them, yes, difficulties might come upon them, yes, trials might well come upon them, yes, but they are to recognize and realize they have a wonderful and a glorious thing. They have precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are not to rest upon their laurels. Yes, you have faith. Yes, you have the same faith as the Apostle Peter and Paul and John and all the others. Yes, you belong unto the living God. Yes, you are sons of the living God. Yes, your eternal future is secure because of Jesus Christ, because you have faith in Him. But you are not to rest upon that. You are to add to your faith. Of course, you're not to add to what Jesus Christ has done. That would be impossible. No one is saying that for one moment. But Peter is telling them too that they are to grow up in their faith. Verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And he goes on to say that if you do these things, you will make your calling and election sure. Now there's something kind of strange in this, we might say, as we look upon it rather slightly. How can anyone make their calling and election sure? Calling is something that God does. You cannot in any sense ask God to call you. Calling is something that belongs to God's eternal decree. And how in any sense can you make your election sure? These are things you cannot possibly do yourselves. Calling and election belong to the sovereign Lord. But what Peter is saying here is, if you put these things in practice, if you add to your faith virtue, which simply means to have a living and a lively faith, whereby your faith is a faith that lives in you, that motivates you, that provides vitality and life to your life. If that's the kind of faith you have, then you are showing that your calling and election is sure, that you have indeed been called and elected by God. That's what he's impressing upon them. In other words, they are to live out their Christian lives. And by living out their Christian lives, by exercising their faith, by doing what we are supposed to do according to the Word of God, to live after the manner of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will make your calling and election sure. And this is what he wants to impress upon them. At a time when there was difficulties, when there was trials, when there was temptations, when it was not easy to be a Christian, get your foundations right. Make sure, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then, friends, when all these things come upon you, what will it be like? You'll be sure, you'll be strong, you'll be steadfast Christians. Does this not speak something to us today in the troublous times that we live in our church? Is it not true that today in the Christian church that we find ourselves in, are we not being attacked? Is the church not weak? Do we not live in evil days? Well, when we live in evil days, and when God's people are going through these evil days, what are we to be like? We are to be ones who are sure of our calling. We are to be ones who are sure of our election. We are to be ones who are to be assured of our interest in Christ. And when the foundations are shaking and being shaken, the people who are steadfast, the people who are fixed and focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the ones who will shine, and they are the ones who will come through. So the first thing we want to establish, friends, is to have an assured hope is to be desired. And we are not to cast this aside. As I said, here were slaves, the lowest class of society of that day. Yet they were urged to give all diligence to make their calling and election sure. Well then, I want to give you one or two reasons why we should seek to have this assured and this blessed hope. Well, the first reason we'll find directly in our text here. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. This is not difficult. This will not tax any one of us. The first reason that the Christian is to give all diligence to make his calling and election sure, it is because it's found in the Word of God. Surely, friends, I do not need to say anything else to you. Surely I don't need to exhort you. I'm talking to the people of God. I'm talking to Christians who have an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to make your calling and election sure because the Word of God commands you. You are indeed to grow up to become strong Christians. To be Christians who know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. We are to be ones who are should be able to say that, friends. This is what's required of us. This is the kind of disciples that the Lord wants. People indeed who are secure in their faith, who have this wonderful and this blessed assurance that indeed Jesus Christ is theirs. And therefore, not one of us can cast this to the back of our minds. And not one of us can say, this is not for me. If we believe upon the Lord Jesus, we are to be ones who are assured of this because we find it in the Word of God. It's there for us that we would grow up and mature and blossom and be no longer babes tossed to and fro, but to be secure in our interest in Jesus Christ. But there are other reasons. There are other reasons. It is true, friends, that those who have this wonderful, blessed assurance, they are strong Christians. They are strong Christians. And is this not the great cry, the great need that we need in our churches today? Is it not strong Christians, mature Christians, Christians who do not rock, who do not waver, who do not turn aside, but ones who are firm and committed and steadfast? Those friends who truly know that Christ is theirs are the ones who are the strongest. And they are the ones who make the progress. And they are the ones who will go on. And they are the ones who will be there at the end. It's when they have this wonderful assurance that Christ is theirs. They will not depart from the faith. They will not throw in the towel when the going gets tough. No, friends, they will be there right to the end because they have this wonderful assurance that Christ truly belongs to them. But furthermore, those who have this wonderful assurance are those who will do the most for the Lord. Is this not something that we need in congregations and churches today? People who will actually do things for the Lord? Is it not true that in congregations we find that it's a handful that do so much and the others do so little? But you will find it's those who have a strong assurance, who have strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the ones who are active. They are the ones who are striving, seeking to serve the Lord in their day and generation. They are the ones in the Sabbath school. They are the ones in the youth fellowship. They are the ones who are to be found when there's work to be done. It's those who have this strong interest in Christ. They are the ones who do so much for him. A story is told of two people. They go to Australia and they're given, these two men are given two pieces of land. And the land has been given to them legally and lawfully. It belongs to each individual. One individual has this portion. And the other individual has this portion. It belongs to them. It's all sealed, signed, delivered. It's theirs. And what happens? One man recognizes that's his portion of land. And he goes. And he begins to cultivate it. He begins to do what he wants to do and build upon it. Farms upon it. All the things he wants to do. He's working at it diligently day in, day out because he knows it's his. And the other man, he can hardly believe. He's got this portion of land here. But he goes back and forth to the land registry. He just can't be certain. Is it really mine? Is it mine? You ask yourself after 2 years, after 3 years, which man has made the progress? It's the man who has recognized that the land belongs unto him and he's worked at it. And if you go to the other place where that man doubts that it belongs to him and he's always questioning the ownership, that man has not made the same progress as the other individual. And so it is, friends, in the Christian life. If we're always questioning our sonship, if we're always questioning whether our sins are forgiven, if we're always questioning whether we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ or not, we'll never make progress in the Christian life. Therefore, we must get this matter settled. We must indeed strive and give diligence to make our calling and election sure, so that whatever we know in this world, we know that Jesus Christ belongs unto us, and the great transaction is done. My sins have been forgiven, and that I'm right with God. Because it's only those who have this wonderful and blessed assurance are the ones who will make progress in the Christian life. But also, friends, we should seek to have this thing because it will sweeten our journey to heaven. Oh, do we not need to realize? Do we not need to sit down and think? This is what it's ultimately all about, friends. We're on the road to glory. The Christian, he does not belong to this world. His citizenship is in heaven. And by the grace of God, God is preparing all his people for glory. And those who have this wonderful and blessed assurance are those who will have their journey sweetened towards heaven. They will realize that God indeed is working wonderful things in their lives, preparing them for glory. And those who have this assurance will recognize then whatever comes their way, whatever sore providence, whatever thing that they themselves would naturally run away from, yet because it comes to them from an all-loving God who has assured them of their salvation, they will be able to accept these crosses, these afflictions, and these difficulties that come upon them because they have this wonderful and this glorious assurance. Oh, if loved ones are taken from us, yet we know Christ is ours and he can never be taken from us. Oh, supposing financial difficulties come upon us, we will recognize in Christ we are rich, are we not? Which one of us, of the children of God, does not have difficulties, does not have things that will sorely test flesh and blood? Things that we would not wish to encounter in of ourselves. Things that would throw a worldling upside down. But when the Christian who has this blessed assurance, when these things fall upon him, he is in no sense downcast. He is in no sense disappointed. He recognizes he has something wonderful and glorious before him. He has something that the world can never take from him. Something that the world cannot give to him. He has an interest in that world that is to come. And that, friends, properly understood, will indeed temper all our afflictions and all our crosses. And it will sweeten that journey towards heaven. And do we not need that? Do we not need that, child of God? Is that not true? Of course it is. The way of the cross, the way of following the Lord Jesus, is not easy. It's not. But those persons who have made their calling and election sure, they will be able to put up with these things. They will be able to bear the will of the Lord when that will is so contrary to their own will. Well, friends, these are one or two reasons why we should seek to have this blessed assurance, to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. But the second thing we want to notice here, if this is something that we should aspire to and seek after and be diligent until we find it, the second thing we want to notice is here is, why is it so seldom attained? Why is it, friends, that it is so seldom attained? The Bible would exhort us to seek it. It is a true and a scriptural thing. Yet the reality is, why is it that few of us ever reach this wonderful position when we can say we have this wonderful and blessed assurance? Well, we might notice from our text here, it gives us an answer. It says, give diligence. And this would teach us and tell us that for us to have this assurance that the Bible aspires us to, it will indeed require great diligence from each of the children of God to receive it. In other words, it's hard work. In other words, it does not land upon our laps. Friends, we must realize that salvation is by grace. We have been brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has done something wonderful. He has given us repentance and He has given us faith. He has done these things for us while we were dead in trespasses and sins. But here is the difference. We will never indeed experience this blessed assurance unless we are diligent in this matter. Our salvation was wrought about by God alone. We were dead, yet by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, the Christian is alive in Christ. God did something wonderful. God took the initiative. God worked. But friends, we cannot assume that if we are not diligent about this matter, that we will ever come to an assurance of salvation, because it is hard work. It requires effort upon our parts. This is what he's saying here. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You see, friends, we are naturally slothful. We naturally will recoil from hard work. And this is a spiritual work. And because of that, we might say, doubly slothful. We are inclined to do many things, but the thing that's needful, the things that we find in the Word of God, we tend to recoil from. And therefore, we are to realize that first and foremost, the reason why so very few actually receive this assurance of salvation is because they never seek it, and they're not prepared to put in the hard work that is required. Therefore, let us stir ourselves up, friends. Is this not a wonderful prize before us? Is this not a wonderful position to be in? Is this not what we strive for? Is this not what we want? But, friends, it's here before us. But if we will not in any sense seek after it or give diligence that's required, we will not obtain it. God will not drop it on your laps. He will not. We are to put effort into it. So it is in the natural. We could go back to the illustration of the two men. The one was diligent, and his farm and his house was built, and the other was not. And you could see the vast difference between one holding and the other holding. So it is in the spiritual, friends. We are to be diligent about these matters. We are to be concerned. And we are to be ones who will seek this blessing. How then can we find this blessing? Well, he gives us instructions here what we are to do. Some people maintain that we get this blessing by some kind of supernatural event or experience. Far from it, friends. Our confession of faith talks about assurance of salvation, and it talks that this can be obtained by the ordinary means of grace. There's nothing magical in it. We're not looking for some ecstatic spiritual experience. Far from it. We are simply being diligent about the things that God has given to us. Our Bible reading, our prayer time, our coming to the house of God, our being found in the public means of grace, our living out our Christian lives, our daily conflict with sin. Here is something, friends, if we are living in sin, if we know that we have a sin, an open sin, and we're living in that, we cannot expect to have the blessed assurance. We cannot expect God to draw near unto us and assure us and give us this wonderful assurance that our sins are forgiven if we are living in sin. Of course not. We are to be diligent about the things of God. We are to have a conscience that's a void of offense between God and men. We are to keep short accounts with God. If we find ourselves sinning, we are to repent immediately. We are to go to the throne of grace. We are to confess that sin. We are not to harbor it. We must give it up. Keep short accounts with God and with men. If we find ourselves that we have sinned against a fellow believer or another individual, let us go and confess our sins. Let us seek repentance. Let us seek to be reconciled. We must live in the light of the Word of God if we are to enjoy this wonderful blessing. Maybe there are some here who have obtained this blessing and who know something about what I'm talking about. Well, friends, I hope more will know about this. But it can be intermittent. We might have it for a season, and we might lose it. That has happened on occasions. David says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He knew what it was, but he lost it through his sin. And he saw that assurance, that blessedness, that peace, and that felicity would be restored unto him. And maybe that has been your experience. You have known happier times, blessed times, but no longer. Well, you must go and search and see what's wrong, and seek the Lord, that he might indeed reveal unto you where you are and where you stand, that you might know this blessedness, this peacefulness, and this felicity yet again. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I have been speaking primarily to Christians to remind them that they have a precious faith and that they are to capitalize upon that faith and add to it. But I want to close by saying, friends, there may be some here who don't have this faith at all. The Christian, he might not have the blessed assurance. He does believe, and his eternal future is secure. There's no question about that. But what about the unbeliever? He knows nothing of this saving faith at all. What can I say to such a person? Friends, all I can say to you is you must go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must cry out unto him that he might give you this saving faith. That you would be ones who would indeed have an interest in the Lord Jesus. That you would be ones who would be able to face death Oh, I know many people don't like to consider their demise, their latter end. They feel, oh well, I feel fit now at the moment, everything's going okay, everything's well. But the day will come when that will not be the case. The day will come when all of us will go the way of all the earth. That will happen. And friends, if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ on that day, what a day it will be for us. The Christian, he may not have his blessed assurance, but even that day will be a glorious day for him. But it will not be for the unbeliever. And therefore, because this is a day of grace, because this is a time when we're sought to get right with God, therefore, friends, come to the Lord Jesus. Avail yourself of him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him that he might save you, that he would give to you this wonderful saving faith. And then once you have this faith, and once you have this interest in Christ, you are to go on and to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.